Just want to say this, that I appreciate every church that has moved their prayer meeting service to our camp meeting service tonight. And we want to say thank you. And we want to thank every participating church who has given desserts to be a blessing to those who eat. All of the local churches bring in desserts, and we appreciate what you do, and we appreciate the monetary support that is given by these churches also. And it's a blessing to have Brother Tony Daniels to preach for us tonight. He pastors the White Plains Baptist Church here in our county. He's God's man for this hour. I want you to open up your heart, listen to what God has to say to your heart through God's man. I love you.
Amen. It's good to be in the underneath the tabernacle again this evening. I appreciate this privilege to be able to stand here. I guess the first couple of times that I preached in camp meeting, I probably was in my early 30s. And I thought, well, I can't wait till I get 55 or 60, because when you get that old, you don't get nervous anymore. You still do. You still do. That's amazing, isn't it? I thought old people never got nervous. But it's just one of those things you have to live with, I guess. But it's a blessing to be here. Take your Bible, if you will. Turn to 1 Kings chapter number 17. 1 Kings chapter number 17. I want to begin reading with verse number 1. Brother Steve called me, about 3 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago, and asked me about preaching on Wednesday evening. And just my daily Bible, reading through the Bible, I just come across these verses, and God said, whoa there. And he settled it in my heart that this is the message. This is a good place to know that you're saved. Amen. I wouldn't want to stand here tonight not knowing that I wasn't saved. This is a good place to know that you've been called to preach. I sure wouldn't want to stand here tonight without God's calling. And this is a good place to know that God's put something on your heart. Amen. Amen. You can't get by with nothing out here at camp meeting. There's a lady stopped me back there Monday night and said, "You did a good job preaching." I couldn't take credit for Brother Field's message. I wanted to, but I just couldn't do it. So maybe somebody will stop Brother Field tonight and say, "What kind of a mess did you do?" You know, I don't. 1 Kings chapter number 17, verse number 1. "And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, 'As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word.' And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, 'Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook of Cherith, that is before Jordan.'" Now turn, if you will, to chapter 18 and look down to verse number 17. The Bible says, "And it came to pass, when Ahab saw Elijah, that Elijah said unto him, 'Art thou he that troubleth Israel?' And he," that is Elijah, "answered Ahab, 'I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam.'" I don't know if you see it as I see it when I read verse 17 and 18, but this isn't a friendly meeting. This isn't a good atmosphere. Things were a little cold. And I want us to think tonight on this thought: why can't we just be friends? Why can't we just be friends? Back in 1975, I would have been 14 years old. And there was a song that was number 6 on the billboards that year. And the song was entitled, "Why Can't We Be Friends?" I don't know if you've ever looked at the lyrics to that song, but I brought them. And I want you to listen to some of them. Maybe some of you are a little sharper than me. I hope you are. And maybe you can understand this. But in this song, let me mention this, there's 8 verses. And in this song, some 47 times, over and over and over, there's this little jingle, "Why can't we be friends?" I think it's interesting that the group that sung the song was war. But here's what they say in their song. Let me just skip down to verse number 2. He says, "I seen you around for a long time, and I really remember when you drank my wine. Why can't we be friends? Why can't we be friends?" Now, I don't see it. I don't get it. He says, I saw you walking down Chinatown. I called, but you could not look around. Why can't we be friends? Why can't we be friends? He said, "I pay my money to the welfare line. I see you standing in it every time." Are y'all getting this? It don't make sense to me. I don't understand it. And I'm kind of rejoicing right now that I don't, or I would probably been a part of that culture. Goes on to say, "The color of your skin don't matter to me as long as we live in harmony." It says, "I kind of like to be the president so I could know how our money's been spent. Why can't we be friends?" On and on. Sometimes I don't speak right, but yet I know what I'm talking about. Why can't we be friends? And I have people tell me, "Preacher, I cannot understand the King James Bible." Well, there's a couple other lines in here. I'm not going to go to that, but if there's one verse that I got that I can identify with, it's the first verse. It says, and then it goes la 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 la. Why can't we be friends? Now I don't tell you, I'm struggling with that, but I don't struggle with the King James Bible. I understand the Word of God. And I understand what war did not understand and what many today, even Christian people, seem to think that everybody can be friends. That's what's wrong with the church today. We want to befriend the world. We want to be a part of the world. When the Bible says we're to come out from among them, but there's a push in the church that if we don't friend them and we don't go along with them, they're not going to come, and we ain't going to have nobody. You ain't going to have much if that's what you build a church on. I see these little cars are riding around Taylorsville and out in Vashti now's got coexist on there. That ain't Bible. I want to tell you, if you want to be a friend, you'll tell somebody the truth. You'll try to get a sinner out of hell. You'll let people know what the Bible says. God never put me here to coexist. God put me here to preach the gospel and try to get folks saved. Why can't we be friends? I want us to address that thought tonight, and why can't we be friends? Listen, this world has never had peace and never will till the King of Peace comes back again. I could see old Cain when he turned his back on God and went walking off down to Nod, muttering under his breath, "I'll show you. We'll show you how we can operate and how we can get along and how we'll do all right without you." But I want to remind you, not many verses after Cain went toward Nod, they were a fussing and a fighting and a killing. Read about old Lamech. And that's just one we know, not counting all the others we don't know. It wasn't long. They could not be friends. They were a fighting and a cussing and a killing one another. And we still live in a culture today that believes that we ought to all be friends and can be friends. It didn't work out in the Old Testament. In fact, it got so bad God had to destroy the world with water. And they're still telling us we can have peace in this world today if we'd play our cards right. Isn't that amazing? The godless line cannot have peace, and the world cannot have peace. We have seen that in the past in the Bible. We see that in the present in the news. There is not world peace tonight. People are meaner than they've ever been. There seems to be more murder. There seems to be more wickedness and ungodliness than ever. I want to tell you something. Our world's not getting any better. It's getting worse. It just continues to get worse. There's been no success in the past. There'll be no success in the present. And there will be no success in the future. You see, a lot of this crowd that's crying for peace said if it wasn't for them Holy Ghost preachers, if it wasn't for them Bible-thumping Christians, if it wasn't for those churches that had it my way or the highway, this world would be better off. We'd have a lot of peace and a lot of pleasure. They're going to get their day. Second Thessalonians chapter number 2, their days are coming. God's going to get us out of here, and all hell's going to break out. They will not be peace. There is no peace in this world, and it's a mess, and the world does not have the answer for peace, and the world has no peace tonight. But let me say this, there's a difference between the world and the church. The church is established on love. God sent His only begotten Son into the world. The Bible says we love Him because He first loved us. The church is established on love. Jesus told His disciples, "By this all men will know that you're my disciples." What's the context? Love. Love, that affection for one another, that ability to get along with one another, that peace that we can have together, that fellowship we have. Jesus said it ought to be a remarkable attribute concerning Christians. In the early church, not long after they were saved, the Bible said every man had everything in common. They loved one another. They fellowshiped together. They had studied their Bibles together. They gave to those that were in need. They were different from the world. 1 Corinthians chapter number 13, Paul's what we call the great love chapter. He begins to talk about what love doesn't do and what love does do. And then at the end of that chapter, he makes this astounding statement to me. He said, we have faith, we have hope, and we have charity or love. And he says that love is the greatest of these. Now, I gave that some thought. I thought the Bible says without faith it is impossible to please God. Now just a verse or two before that it says we now look through a glass darkly, but soon we're going to see face to face. Listen, one of these days it ain't going to take faith, it's going to be reality. And one of these days, our hope is going to give way to reality too. One day, we're not going to have that hope. Thank God we're going to live that hope out. One day, we're not going to need faith. We're going to see Him face to face. But I want to tell you, love will go on eternally. Love will last forever. I'm glad there is a place where there's peace. I'm glad there is a place where there's no more problems. I'm glad it ain't in the USA. It's not in the world. But God has a place where there will be peace one day after a while. We're different from the world. And because of that, we cannot get along with the world. See, you and I as Christians tonight, we have an answer to world peace. It's Jesus Christ. Hey, if you want to get along with us, you need to meet our Savior. If you want us to get along in fellowship and be together, it's through Christ. God's answer to peace tonight is through this world is Christ. But listen, the devil has an answer for peace too. The devil, he's always got a counterfeit for everything that the Lord wants to do. And the devil has a counterfeit tonight, and it ain't Christ, it's compromise. Compromise. And I'm afraid that that's what we're doing in our day. We are compromising to try to have peace. I don't tell you, Ahab, when he met Elijah, he met a man that wouldn't compromise. He met a man that wouldn't back down. I want to make this statement tonight, and I hope you'll agree with me. And I'm not pressing this, I'm not promoting this, but I believe it's the truth. When the church is persecuted, she is at her strongest. I believe you'll find that in the Bible. The more they burned them, the more they sold them in two, the more they run them out of town, the more they did. God's church kept growing and burning and exalting Jesus. The church under persecution is at its strongest. But when the church has peace, it's at its weakest. It's at its weakest. The Laodicean church. Now most people believe that's the seventh church. We know that in Revelation. Most people believe that that is the last church. It is the church before Jesus comes back. And if you'll remember it, it was the lukewarm church. It's the church that was lazy. It was a church that was rich, had plenty, didn't think that they need anything. But Jesus said, "You make me sick." I believe it's a compromising church. I believe it's a church that wanted to let down on the Word of God. I believe it was a church that wanted to get along with the world. They weren't willing to fight on the battlefield. They weren't willing to pay that price. And they begin to compromise. I do not want to be a compromising preacher. Yes, I love peace. You wouldn't tell it by looking at me, but I'm no fighter tonight. I'm a lover. Hallelujah. But there's just times I cannot get along with people because they're wrong in what they believe. They're wrong in what they do. And as a pastor, I have to tell them what the Bible says. I do not want to be a compromising preacher. Elijah could have offered peace to Ahab. He could, but if Elijah had offered peace to Ahab, he would have offended God. Amen. He would have offended God. But listen to me. Elijah honored God and hallowed that ground. You ask a Bible student what they know about Mount Carmel. I'm going to say 9 out of 10 of them, if not more, will take you right back there to Elijah stand before Ahab. How Ahab built the altar and called the fire down. You want your church to have a name. You want the community to look up to your church. You want people to talk about that being a good... Honor God. Don't compromise. Don't bend your back, preacher. Don't let your sails down. Stand on the Word of God. Stay with the stuff. You say they won't come. No, they may not come. But I want to tell you, God can add unto the church such as needs to be saved. I just want to preach the truth. I just want to exalt God. I just want to tell people what's right. What thus saith the Lord. I'll let God add unto the church. I'll let God save sinners. I don't want to compromise, but I'll tell you, there's a lot of that going on in these days. Say something to you preachers quickly. That family that's about to leave your church, would you compromise? Lord, we couldn't do without them. I don't know what would happen if they left. They're the givers of the church. They do this, do that. Would you compromise? A lot of people will. A lot of people will. What about that church that's about to turn you out because of what you stand on in the Bible, that you believe with all your hearts God's Word and what thus saith the Lord? Would you compromise? Would you just give in? Would you let them have their way, or would you stay there? Let me say something to you Christians here tonight for just a moment. Would you compromise with that co-worker to have peace down at the job? Would you compromise with that friend to keep that friend? Or would you just be a real Christian and say, listen, you're wrong. What you're doing's wrong. Folks, listen, I'll tell you what breaks my heart tonight. We're living in a day where professed Christian parents are compromising their children, their own children. Listen, love should never compromise. Love should always be honest and faithful and true and always lead in the right direction. I don't want to be a compromiser this evening. I want to be a child of God that'll tell the truth and tell it like it is. Think about the meeting with Ahab. You can't help but just think about Ahab's demeanor in these verses. He was hateful. He was hateful. Last time he seen Elijah was 3 years ago, and everything's drying up, and his finances are coming down. The foods are getting gone. He was hostile. He was mad at Elijah. He didn't come down there to hug his neck. He never said good afternoon. He was hostile.
And I want to tell you, when you take a stand, when you stand on God's word, there's people going to be mean to you. They're not going to talk to you. They'll dodge you in the juice aisle. But if heaven's a smiling and I've done what God wants me to do, I just got to go by faith and keep on teaching and preaching the word of God. It was a hostile environment. It was a hateful environment. He pointed his little bony finger in the face of Elijah and said, "You are the one. Isn't it you? You're the one that's brought all this about. You're the one that's troubling Israel." I won't tell you, the world tonight is not in the mess it is because everybody's got converted and got saved and has lived for God. I'll tell you why the world's in a mess tonight. It's because they've listened to the devil. They've turned their back on God. And we're living in a day where sin is raging. It's not the mess that the church has made or God's made. It's Ahab's mess. It's that crowd that's turned their back on God. And the world tonight needs somebody who will stand up and not compromise the things of God. Stand on the things of the Lord. I like old Elijah's defense, don't you? I like that he was willing to take a stand. Ain't many people willing to do that anymore, are they? A lot of people are not willing to take a stand, but old Elijah was. He's a standing right there with the king in his face, and the king done said, "Anybody find him, tell him where he's at. I want to kill him." Listen, he took a stand. Men, take a stand. Preachers, take a stand. Christians, take a stand. We need some people that'll take a stand. Not only did he take a stand, but he took the scripture. He took the scripture with him. He told him, said, "You've forsaken the commandments of God." He opened up this Bible, began to teach. I had some young people on my bus several years ago. They were talking about certain kinds of individuals. And they said, "You know, they are the sweetest people. They are the kindest people." I said, "You open up a Bible and you tell them what God says, you'll see how they really act." And you do that to about a lot of people. You open up that Bible. You know, it's always amazed me. The world says they don't believe in Jesus Christ. You go down to work in the morning and talk about Peter Cottontail. I tell you, they'll laugh with you. They'll talk with you. They'll pat you on the back. You tell them about Santa Claus. Ask them if Santa Claus came by last night. Ask them if old Santa got stuck in the chimney. They'll talk that stuff, sing it with you, party with you, have a big time. But if you ever lift up that name that is above every name, if you just mention his name, I want to tell you, the environment will change. The old Ahab will come out in them. Conviction begins to rule in their heart. You say, "Preacher, it's hard to be a Christian." It ought to be hard. It was hard on those before we got here, and it ought to be hard on us. But don't compromise. Don't let down the truth. Stand your ground, child of God. Stand your ground. Jesus stood his ground for me, and I want to stand my ground for him. I'll tell you, he exalted the scriptures, and I'll tell you, he exposed old Ahab's sin. He never backed off, did he? He never backed off. How in the world could Ahab and Elijah ever get along? Well, I'll tell you that one of two ways. Ahab has got to get converted, or Elijah has got to compromise. That's the only way it's going to work. That's the only way. Anything else will not work. It may work for a month. It may get you down the road 6 months, but somewhere along the line, it ain't going to happen. It'll go to running a church down. It'll be a pressure on your ministry, preacher, that'll worry you night and day and haunt you. You better stay with the stuff. You better preach the Bible. We better honor God. We better not compromise. We give them Christ. And if they're not interested in Christ, we do not compromise. Stand your ground. I think about the meeting with Ahab. I think about the morals defining Ahab. 1 Kings 16 talks about his father's house. He had a daddy by the name of Omri. The Bible said he was the worst king Israel ever had, wicked as he could be. But the old apple never fell far from the tree. Here come Ahab, and the Bible said the same thing about him. Said he was even worse than his daddy. He was the worst king that they ever had. And standing out there that day, old Ahab met up with Elijah. Listen to me, Elijah's a prophet. Elijah is God's man. Elijah's a preacher. How in the world can they get along? How in the world can a prophet who knows what's going to happen to Israel, who knows where sin's going to take you to, get along with a fellow that's leading them down that way? How can they have peace? He's a preacher. He knows the Word of God. He knows the cost of sin. He knows it's going to take them farther than they want to pay. He knows it's going to get a lot worse than 3 years famine. He knows. How in the world can they get along? How can they have peace unless there is a compromise or a conversion? There can be no real peace. Oh, I'm burdened tonight for so many churches that are compromising for the crowds. I'd hate to be a compromising preacher to get a crowd to a church. I don't tell you, you ain't got a church. What you got is a club. Oh, preacher, you're going to dry up and swivel and go away. Hey, the only orders I got as a preacher was to preach the Word. Preach the Bible. Don't you compromise. Don't you lay back. I just still believe God's big enough to take care of the thing. I believe God can still handle the situation in 2019. I believe the early church did it right. We down through the years are doing it wrong. And if we ever did go to doing it right, we'd see a change in our world. We've compromised. We backed up. We've let off. We slowed down. God help us tonight to stay with the truth and let people know the Word of God. That was the meeting. That was the morals. And there's the message. God's Word has been given. Thank God for Elijah and his ministry. He has showed in his ministry that it is time to stand up. It is time to speak up. Now, I appreciate old Obadiah. I do. And I'm not here tonight to run him down, brother. The Bible said he feared the Lord and he was doing a lot of stuff. But do you know what we ought to do when everything's upside down? We ought to be preaching the Word of God. We ought to be telling people about Jesus. Obadiah locked them in a cave. Come on, preach it, brother. Hey, that's not standing up. That's not speaking up. That's shutting them up. That's quietening them down. It ain't going to get no better with them up there in a cave. Now, I'm not running Obadiah down. Obadiah risked his life doing what he did. But listen, I do not want a ministry tonight of trying to shut people up. I want to have a ministry of trying to get people to speak up and tell the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing of the Word of God. If we're going to change our world, we're not going to do it by running them down and talk about them. You can see them mow grass on Sunday. And you can curse them and talk about them and run them down, but that ain't going to change anything. There's something called the gospel that is still the power of God unto salvation. And we that know the Savior, we don't need to shut up. We need to get up and we need to speak up, and we don't want to compromise. What year did Hinkle Little die in? 1988. Did he die before camp meeting or after camp meeting that year? Before. My first time of coming to Taylorsville Baptist camp meeting was in 1988. An old fella down there at the church I went to said, "You want to go to the Taylorsville camp meeting?" And I said, "Do we have to bring a tent? We're going to be there all night?" I didn't know what it was. I had no idea what it was. And so the very first year I came, Brother Rule Fox moderated it. Brother Steve was sitting over here on the front, and then since, Brother Steve's been the moderator. So it's been that I never got to meet Hinkle Little. I never did. Now, when I was a young fella, I remember going to some singings at Calvary, and I remember seeing Hinkle some. I as a kid, he may have spoke to me, I don't know, but far as I know, I never met Hinkle Little. But I have found something about Hinkle that I have always admired. I have found people to love him to death. They loved him. I mean, he could yank up a kid and take them out behind the church and wear them out for not behaving, bring them back in, and mom and dad wouldn't say nothing. That's the preacher. That's God's man. We love him, and that's okay. They loved Hinkle to death. But then there was another crowd that I have found about Hinkle Little. And I'm going to be honest, I know his grandson's here tonight, but I'm a bragging on him. Amen. They couldn't stand him. They couldn't stand him. Most anybody that I have ever met that had anything to do with Brother Hinkle Little, They either loved him or they hated him. And folks, I hope that's my testimony when I leave this world. I don't want to be a compromiser. I don't want to be an ear tickler or a back scratcher. I want to stand on the truth of God. I want to preach His holy word. I want to point people to the Lamb of God that'll take away the sins of the world. I don't want to compromise. Praise God. I want to preach the word of God and let people know the truth. Ahab could have compromised, but he didn't. The light's yellow. I got to quit. Let me say this. John the Baptist could have went to a birthday party, but he wouldn't compromise. He could have been up there at the birthday party helping blow out candles and cutting cake. He could have been up there at the birthday party watching old Herod's little daughter dance around that dance and the clap. He could have asked grace over ice cream. But he wouldn't back down. He said, what you're doing's wrong. You ain't right with God. You're a sinner. You're living in sin and you ain't a living right. He'd rather have his head hit the floor and his body be buried out there in the cold, wet ground than to go to a birthday party and strut around there like he's a man of God. He won't compromise. I'll tell you, the world wants us to go and get involved, preachers, in their stuff and in their things. They want to lead us down that road. They want us to compromise. They want us to applaud them. They want us to say what they're doing's okay, but I say be an Elijah, be a John the Baptist. Don't get caught up in that mess. Let's stand for truth and stand for right. Let's not compromise. Let's go with God and let people know what thus saith the Lord. I'm done, brother. I'm done.